I'm here to talk about X-Ray, a tool for helping the end user debug performance issues caused by misconfigurations. So the software is complex, and we're reminded of the fact that software is complex when problems arise and we have to go through this tedious and time-consuming task of trying to find the problems and try to fix it. And we call this process troubleshooting. And the particular type of these problems that are tough to troubleshoot are performance issues. And that's because performance issues will have usually correct program output, but will perform slower than expected or use more resources than expected. Now, there are two types of people who are trying to troubleshoot these performance issues. You have your developers who understand the application and understand the source code, so they can use these tools like profilers or tracing tools and logging tools. But there are these other users, administrators and end users, whose tools are more ad hoc. They can look on the internet, they can stare at the config file, or they can ask the developer for support. So the goal of my talk today is to help the end user troubleshoot their performance issues. Now, providing tools to end users are different than providing tools to developers. We want to do so without source code, because the end user doesn't want to look at source code. And we want to do so without error log messages, because the user might not have log messages, or they might be cryptic, or they might also require going back to source code. We want to do so without controlled workloads, because the end user is in a production environment, and they may not necessarily be able to control the workload or inject artificial traffic into their system. And without developer support, because sometimes it might be too expensive or non-existent at all. So let me walk you through an example that we found on a blog that a user posted about his experiences troubleshooting his postfix mail server. Now, so this user has this postfix mail server set up, and he's sending mail from his account, and he notices that these mail messages are going slow, whereas mail messages from other accounts are just being sent just fine. So he launches up his standard Unix tools like TOP, IOTOP, and Network Analyzer, and he notices that they're reporting back that there's nothing wrong with the system. And he's a power user, so he understands these outputs. So he delves deeper, and he opens up the application's log messages, and he sees that whenever he's sending mail from one of his accounts, that there's actually more debugging information being sent to these logs. So he opens up the postfix config file, and it's this complex configuration file. I've just shown the snippet here. I just stares at this for a while. And he just goes through some of these config options. And finally, he has this aha moment where he sees the correct configuration option, the debug peerless option. And in this option, there's his mail domain. And what was going on was every domain in this option, there's increased debugging because it's simply in this list. And so he removes his domain from this list, and his mail starts being sent fine, perfectly fine. And so this becomes obvious once it's explained. It becomes obvious once it's explained because he sees this explanation, but it was a process of finding this explanation. Finding this config option, this large configuration file that was problematic. So it was like trying to find a needle in a haystack. So current tools today only solve half this problem. Existing tools only revealed what happened. So in this case, this postfix user, the logging only revealed the behavior that was going on. He needed to infer manually why this was going on. He wanted to know the root cause of this problem. And in this talk, a root cause, when I say root cause, I actually mean a configuration option or a workload input. So profilers are actually pretty good at explaining what's going on. And that's because the profilers use a statistical brute force analysis where they can attribute the cost of every event to source code. Well, in this talk, we'll introduce this new technique called performance summarization, where you combine the statistical brute force analysis with a causal analysis of every event, where an event is an instruction or system call, and we can produce our end goal of attributing performance costs to root causes. Now, performance summarization is really the heart of X-Ray, and so I'll walk through the steps of performance summarization with you. First, we want to find all the events within the scope, essentially what's going on. Next, we'll attribute performance costs to events. This is essentially what a profiler does. Next, we'll find the root causes of events using causal analysis, essentially the why of it. Then we'll aggregate these performance costs, the root causes, we'll summarize, and we'll be able to output an ordered list of root causes back to the end user. So now that I've motivated the talk, I'll next talk about how a user will use X-Ray, Then I'll talk about a couple of the key building blocks that X-Ray builds on, namely deterministic replay and causal analysis. Then I'll talk about the details of the performance summarization. And finally, I'll talk about the results. So from a user's perspective, how would they use X-Ray? Well, first, the user will start recording the execution on the production machine. I found this online recording overhead is fairly low, so the user would conceivably be running this recording all the time. So when a user experiences a performance issue, the user can send a log of the recorded execution to an offline analysis machine. And before they can run their analysis, the user needs to provide two key parameters to X-Ray. The first being a performance metric to analyze. So in the case of this postfix user, he's interested in why his mail messages were going slow, so he'd tell X-Ray to analyze latency. The second parameter that the user needs to provide is some scope, or some interval of the recorded execution to analyze. Now, the user was interested in why his mail messages were going slow, so he would input, well, his mail message. So after inputting these into X-Ray, he'd let X-Ray run for a few minutes, and X-Ray would produce a ranked list of root causes. Now, as you can see, X-Ray returns back the same root causes that the user found through manual analysis. But X-Ray returned these results in a matter of a few minutes, and as opposed to spending hours and hours of frustration trying to find this explanation. So X-Ray builds on two key areas, the first being deterministic replay, the second being causality analysis, or why certain events occurred. Deterministic replay is a technique that basically allows you to record an execution and then replay that same execution at some later point in time. Now, X-Ray needs deterministic replay for two key reasons. The first being, it allows a user to offload this heavyweight analysis off the production server onto some offline analysis machine. Secondly, our analysis is so heavyweight that it would actually perturb any timing measurements we made during our analysis. And so we can record our execution online and make timing measurements, and then do our heavyweight analysis offline using a replayed execution. So our requirements for a deterministic replay system are a low online overhead, as well as the ability to do our binary instrumentation during replay. And we use the popular framework PIN to do our binary instrumentation. And so there are a lot of off-the-shelf deterministic replay systems, both commercial and open source. We found that none of these actually fit our needs. And that's because when we record an execution and when we try to replay it later with instrumentation, to the deterministic replay system, these actually look like two different executions, so they would diverge. So our solution to this was to modify the deterministic replay system to be instrumentation aware. And so basically what we did was just compensate, in the deterministic replay system, we compensated for the instrumentation. The full details of how we did this are in the paper, but as an end result, we were able to add only an online overhead of 1 to 5%, and we were able to add our binary instrumentation to our replayed instances offline. The next building block that we built on was causal analysis, and we used the system confade, which was presented at the previous OSDI. And confade reports back the root causes of a specific program event, such as a program error. In order to track causality, it uses dynamic information flow analysis, namely taint tracking. So when a program's inputs are read in, the confade creates a taint set for these program inputs and propagates these taints through data and control flow through the program execution until a specific program event, like a program error, occurs. And then it output a likely ranked of likely root causes. Now, confade differs from other taint tracking systems in a few key areas. Well, first, instead of representing taints as this binary value of tainted or not tainted, confade represents taints as weights, or this relative strength as to why of causal relationships. Now, confade uses a variety of heuristics to propagate taint through data and control flow. You can find the full details of that in the original confade paper. But the key point here is that X-Ray inherits all of the confade heuristics of propagating taints. And more importantly, by using confade and taint tracking, we found that it was only marginally more expensive to calculate the root causes of every event in the program than just one event. And this is because in order to calculate taints for one event, we need to calculate all the intermediate taints leading up to that event. So now that I've talked about the two key areas that X-Ray builds on, I'll now get into the details of performance summarization. Now, if you remember back in the first step that I described, we need to find all the events that we're interested in the program execution. The user needed to provide some sort of scope or a portion of execution to analyze, and the choices available to the user are the entire program execution, some time slice of this program execution, a request or multiple requests, such as a mail message, as in the case of the postfix user. Now, we need to be able to identify the events associated with the scope, and for the entire program execution or time period, it's fairly straightforward. But when the user requests when the user asks for a request, we need to be able to we need to be able to identify the events associated with our request. So we introduced this technique called request extraction, and this boils down to basically being able to identify program basic blocks that are associated with handling a request. Now we came up with two methods for doing so. The first is a fast and simple method of identifying basic blocks, and what we do is we track requests at the process granularity. So what we do is we treat each process as a black box and examine communication to and from the process to understand which request it's working on. So in this diagram, this dispatcher process receives a new request, and it starts identifying basic blocks to that request until it receives another request, and it'll start identifying basic blocks to that second request. Now, when the dispatcher process starts sending work to the worker process, it'll annotate any of these messages with a request identifier so that the worker process knows which request it's working on. Now, I found this works really well for multi-process servers or for programs where process works on only one request at a time. But this doesn't work for programs that seem to work on multiple requests simultaneously. So these are programs such as multi-thread programs or event-driven programs. And so we came up with a second method where we use chain tracking to identify requests. And so basically what we do is when a new request is received, we chain the memory addresses associated with that request with a request identifier. And again, we can propagate these taints using data and control flow as a program executes. And finally, when the program execution is done, we can go back and we can assign basic blocks to requests by taking the most heavily weighted request. And ties are broken by just taking the most recent request. So using this method of request extraction, we've come up with a general technique to identify basic blocks associated with handling a request. So in the next step of performance summarization, we need to attribute cost to events. Now, the cost metrics supported by X-Ray are CPU utilization, request latency, file system usage, or network usage. Now, in the case of the postfix user, the user was interested in latency. So the way we attribute cost to basic blocks is just taking the average latency per instruction and system call cost and attribute that to the basic blocks. In the next step, we need to attribute root causes to basic blocks. So using taint tracking and causality analysis, we attribute these root causes to these basic blocks. So in this case, these root causes foo and bar, I say configuration options. And using taint tracking, we've come up with these relative weights for each root cause. And next, we need to attribute performance costs to root causes. And in the simplest manner, we just multiply the performance costs by the relative weight of each root cause, and we come up with performance costs per root cause. Finally, we can summarize across all of the root causes, is going down each program event, and we'll order these root causes and come out with an ordered list for the end user, so the end user would see this output. Now, what I've described here is basic performance summarization. But sometimes when an end user is looking at performance issues, they'll sometimes look at two requests and ask the question, well, why are these two requests differing in performance? So we've come up with a second method of performance summarization, which we call differential performance summarization. And this will help the end user identify why two requests differ in performance. Now, there's been a lot of previous work in looking at this differential sort of analysis, but they've all treated the application as a black box, where they hold all variables constant in the program execution, except for one. And they analyze how these two requests differ in performance. And they can attribute this performance back to that one variable that wasn't held constant. Well, using differential performance summarization, we can open up this black box and actually look at how these two requests differ in control flow, and we can see how this affected the program execution. So the user will specify two requests that they want to analyze, and using our request extraction techniques, we can extract out these control flow graphs for these two requests. So what I've shown here are the two control flow graphs for two requests, where each block here represents a basic block. And here we need to find the events within the scope. So what we're interested in is where these two requests actually differ in execution. And so what we do is we merge these two requests together into this graph. And the events that we're interested in are the conditionals. And these are where these paths diverge. And so next, we need to attribute cost to these conditionals. Well, intuitively, it should just be the cost of taking one branch versus the cost of taking the other branch. So then we could calculate a differential cost for each of these conditionals. And just like before, following the steps of performance summarization, using a causal analysis system, we can come up with the root causes for why each of these conditionals were executed, as well as the relative strength. And then again, we just multiply the differential cost with each root cause. And we'll summarize and output to the user a ranked list of root causes as to why these two requests differed in performance. Now, we found that differential performance summarization is a powerful technique, but it does require the user to be able to select two requests that they're interested in. So we come up with a third and final method that we call multi-input performance summarization that will help the user identify similar requests and let them compare a large number of requests. So again, the user selects a list of requests that they're interested in, and again, we extract these requests. And just like in the differential case, we'll merge these requests together to figure out where they've differed in program execution. Next, we need to figure out cost for these conditionals. Well, in this case, it's not quite clear as to what the cost of a conditional should be, because there are multiple paths from a conditional determination. Well, again, we simply will just take the shortest path if one branch is taken to determination, and then we'll take the shortest path if the other branch is taken to determination. So again, in the case of C1, this cost would be 2. So we'll do this again for all the events in their scope, which are conditionals. And then we'll come up with root causes for each conditional, again, using our causal analysis system. And finally, we'll attribute cost to root causes and summarize, and we can output to the user this traditional ranked list of root causes. Now, we make available to the user another output from multi-input performance summarization. And this is this actual lattice graph, which will represent requests and their costs. And we make this available to the power users, such as developers or more advanced users, because it will let them identify similar requests so that they can run another type of analysis on it if they're interested. Now, there are two current limitations of X-Ray. First, it only considers configuration settings and inputs as root causes. So if the root cause are actually not one of these, then X-Ray would return a false positive. A possible solution to this would be to introduce some sort of minimum confidence threshold, where if this threshold weren't crossed, then X-Ray wouldn't return back any results. The next limitation is that our tools only currently allow us to track causality into the user level. So if the true cause were something in the kernel, X-Ray would return back a false positive. A possible solution would just be to extend our tools to track causality into the kernel, or to incorporate some performance models of the kernel into our analysis. So next we'll look at how well X-Ray does. We looked at 17 performance bugs that we found on mailing list forms, blogs, documentation, websites, books. And we looked across four separate applications. And these applications represent different concurrency models. So we looked at a multi-thread server, a multi-program mail server, a multi-process database, and an event-driven server. And so here are results for X-Ray. I know the slide is slightly complicated, so let me walk you through it. So this is basically a graphical representation of our results. Don't try to read any of the words on here. If you can't read them, it's fine. I'll walk you through it. So each one of these rows represents one of the 17 performance bugs that we looked at. Along the columns, we have the ranked root causes returned by X-Ray. True root causes are shown in green. And what I mean by true root cause is that it's a root cause where once changed, the performance issue will go away. As you can see, X-Ray doesn't return any true root cause lower than third, so we cut off like any of the root causes that are lower than third returned by X-Ray. And so in the ideal case, all the true root causes will be all the way on the left side, which we'd see the green all the way on the left. But as you can see, that's not the case, but still X-Ray does really good. There are a couple ties here that are shown in the green and white hashing. There are a couple ties for first. And X-Ray correctly ranked the true root causes first or tied for first in 16 of the 17 cases. And these results are actually better than we expected. And so, you know, it surprises us. So we kind of just went back and thought about it. And it kind of goes back, to the postfix user, where most of these configuration issues are sort of obvious once explained. Now, once the explanation is in front of you, it's kind of quite obvious. But it's finding this explanation, and finding this needle in the haystack, that's hard. And this sort of brute force analysis that performance summarization does lends itself nicely to this going through this haystack, searching through this haystack, and trying to find that needle. And so finally, how long does an analysis actually take? Well, if you remember, we use deterministic replay. So our online overhead is only 1 to 5%. So our offline analysis took about 2 minutes. None of these 17 performance cases took longer than 9 minutes. So, you know, user can simply just input their problem into X-Ray, you know, walk away for a few minutes, get a cup of coffee, and come back, and they'll have meaningful results. And this is compared to spending a few hours of just trying to, you know, bang their head against the table. So in conclusion, X-Ray helps the end user diagnose performance issues using performance summarization. X-Ray requires no source code. And in 16 of 17 cases that we looked at, X-Ray correctly ranked the true root cause as first or tied for first. Thanks for listening to my talk, and I'll be happy to take questions now.
Hi, Mark Cherini, Harvard. I'm wondering if you have experienced any situations in which certain bugs mask other bugs in terms of performance.
So this kind of goes back to if there are actually two bugs that sort of produce performance issues. And this actually lends itself nicely to performance summarization, because what we'll do is we go through the entire program execution, we can attribute certain costs to one of them and the other one. And so at the end, when we rank these root causes, what will happen is one of them will come up at the top, and then the other one will show up as well, somewhere later in this rank list. So whichever one is actually more important will come up first.
But it's not the case that if you perhaps eliminate one of the root causes, that the other one becomes more apparent? Or worse?
So this is why we introduced the second mode called differential performance summarization. So if you see, if there are two requests that will say in one of them it's more worse, then what will happen is the first performance issue that the user might not be interested in will simply not show up in this differential analysis because they'll be similar.
Do they have to do it again to find the next? To find the thing that was masked, essentially?
Well, since we use the deterministic replay, we have this replayed execution, so they can run this analysis again, so they can say, okay, well, let me try basic performance summarization. Okay, well, if that didn't give me the right answer, then I can go back and use these other metrics, these other modes of X-ray, to try to find this root cause.
Thanks.
Ryan, UC San Diego, great work. I'm wondering whether the performance summarization is also applicable to multi-component system or distributed system in general?
So we can run X-Ray on multiple machines, and basically what we'll have to do is we'll have to communicate we'll just have to communicate between these machines on any network system, yeah.